Okay, Rabbi Sai, today's daf is daf Lamed Vav. Really, it's tomorrow's daf, first day of Shavuos. We're learning the blot now. We're up to Lamed Hey Amid Beis at the very bottom of the Amid. The Kohen Gadol has now come out of the mikvah, he's toivled, he's done the Kiddush Adayim V'Raglayim, and now he's getting ready to start doing the Avodas Hayom. Says our Gemara, Boloi Eitzel Paroi, he went to his par, as we know it says in the Torah, Achrei Mois Nivei Aharon, to cover some. Let's take a quick look at Parshas Achrei Mois, just to remind us exactly what's going on. It says the very beginning of the Parsha, Achrei Mois Nivei Aharon, to cover some of Hashem Vayimusu, Vayimishom Moishe, Dabal Haron Achicha, Val Yovim B'chol Eisa LaKoydish, Mipeis LaParoiches. Even the Kohen Gadol is not allowed to go anytime he wants to beyond the Paroiches into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. When can he come? On Yom Kippur, Bezois Yovi Aharon al HaKodesh. Aharon wants to go into the Kodesh Kadoshim, he has to bring along a par ben boker lechatos, the Ayili Oilem. So he is bringing now his own par. Says the Mishnah, Bolei Eitzel Parah, he goes next to his par, Uparah Yoyimim Beinu Ulam Lamizbeach. Since the par is a chatos, by definition it's kodshi kudishim. Kodshi kudishim have to be kishochten bitzofoin of the azorah, and therefore where is the kohen gadol standing? The kohen gadol and the par are standing now on the northwestern side of the azorah. It has to be north because it has to be geshochten on the tzofin side. And it has to be western because our Gemara is telling us it was beinu ulam ulam mizbeach. It was between the ulam. Ulam, as you know, is the opening to the heichel and the mizbeach. And that's, of course, on the western side of the mizbeach. Roishe ledorim. We'll talk more about this southwest in the Gemara momentarily. And now we tell us roishe ledorim. How was the animal standing? The direction of the animal was towards Dorim, towards the south, meaning that its tail was towards the north and it was looking towards the south. Upon of the Marav, and its face, the head, was turned towards Marav, towards the west. The Gemara is going to ask in a moment, I don't understand, is the head towards the south or is it towards the west? I mean, Rosh of Dorim, where's the face? Face is part of the head. So if the head is towards Dorim, how can you say the upon of the Marav? So we'll see then the Gemara Mitch momentarily. Vakoyin oimim b'misrach. Vakoyin was standing on the eastern side. Upon of the mar, and therefore his face was turned towards the mar, means towards the heichal, towards the kodesh hakadoshim. V'soimach shtei yad of olav, and the kohen gadol would put his two hands on top of the head of the par. Umisvada, and he says vidoy v'kachoyo oimer onu Hashem ovisi v'shati chatosil fenecha ani uvesi. Onu Hashem, kapeno la'avoidus l'pshom l'chatoim, shavisi v'shapshat v'shachtos v'fanecha, ni uveisi, kakos v'toidus moishavtecha. How do I know that the Kohen Gadol says this vidui? Because it says in the Pasuk, ki b'yoyim hazeh, yechaper aleichem l'tar eschem mikol chatoiseichem l'fnei Hashem t'toru. How do we know that this is referring specifically to a vidui? We'll see this more in the Gemara shortly, but this is, the Gemara is going to tell us, it says in the Pasuk in Achrei Mois, V'chiper ba'avei uvi'ad be'isoi, he's mechaper on his own behalf, on behalf of his mishpocha and the rest of the kahanim. And then it says, on behalf of God's Klal Yisrael. But how was he mechaper? He was mechaper by doing the vidui, by putting his hands on and saying this confession on behalf of v'chiper ba'avei be'isoi. Then oinu achrov, when Klal Yisrael heard this, when they heard Ono Hashem, they all answered, Boro Hashem kevoi machusa li'oi levad. All of this will be explained in much more detail in the Gemara. So the first thing that we're going to focus on is that the Mishnah began that the par was standing ben ulam lam mizbech. Zok the Gemara. We have a three-way machloikis about regular kachi kodeshim where you went and checked it. Zok the Gemara, top of lamed vav amrav. Man shamis leidi omer ben ulam lam mizbeach tzofoin. Who is the one that holds that in between the ulam and mizbeach is also considered to be north? For those of you that are looking in Art Scroll Gemaras, the Art Scroll has a very, very nice picture, a very nice diagram of the three different shitois that we're going to have now among the Tanoim. So, man shamas leidi omer ben ulam lamizbeach is tzofin. Who holds that it's all the way on the northwestern side? This is also called tzofin. So, Gemara Reblozer Reb Shimoni. That's Reblozer Reb Shimoni. The Sani we learned in the Braisa. Three-way machlekes. Ezeu tzofin. Again, all Kodshi Kodushim throughout the year have to be Geshochten on the northern side of the Azara. So the clear-cut classic north is Mikirshul Mizbeach Tzvoidi Vat Koisul Azara. As we know, the Mizbeach was 32 Amos wide, so from the Tzofoin, from the northern end of the Mizbeach, go forward toward the northern wall of the Azara. In that entire space, that's called Tzvoidi Shul Mizbeach, according to everybody, because that's certainly north of the Mizbeach. So for that entire width of the 32 Amos, everybody agrees you can go and shecht all your Kodshi Kodushim there. By the way, you can go and shecht Kodshim Kalim too. But Kodshim Kalim, you can go and shecht anywhere in the Azara. But the Kodshi Kodushim have to dafke be betzofen. So that's Mikirshul Mizbeach Tzvoini, from the northern wall of the Mizbeach, forward toward the northern wall of the Azara. You can shecht. So Rabbi Yosef Yehuda is clear cut, middle of the way, the Tzofen, that's the north. But now what about the northwest side and the northeastern side, which are no longer Kenegra Mizbeach directly straight ahead, but they're also north to the right and to the left. Says Yimur Blazer, Reb Shimon Moisif, up in Ulam V'lam Mizbeach, even between the Ulam V'lam Mizbeach is also called north, but it has to be on the northern side. Then when we think of north of the Mizbeach, we might think that you make kind of a dotted line in the Azara, and wherever the Mizbeach ends on the Tzofin side, so make a dotted line, anything above that is Tzofin, either directly in front, like we had a Yosef Yehuda, or to the northeast or the northwest. But strictly speaking, that's not the case, because the Tzofin is not the Tzofin of the Mizbeach, the Tzofin of the Azara. The Tzofin of the Azara begins or ends at midway of the Azara. And we've had previously that from the north of the Azara to the south of the Azara was altogether 137 Amos. 137 Amos. I'm sorry, 135 Amos, I believe. So if you split 135 in half, that gives you 67 and a half Amos on the northern side and 67 and a half Amos on the southern side. So therefore, the Tzofen HaMizbeach goes beyond the top of the Mizbeach, it goes halfway down the Mizbeach, which is halfway in the Azara. This is according to the Mandiyamrim that hold that the Mizbeach was in the middle and facing the Heichel. As you recall, we've had earlier on in our Masechta that there are other Mandiyamrim that hold that the Mizbeach was Bedorim or Betzofayim. We're learning according to those that hold that it was directly smack in the middle. And therefore, you can go and check according to Reb Lozer, Reb Shimon, not only the Tzofin side of the Mizbeach, but even a little bit lower. In other words, it's stuck in the northwest, but the northwest, even with an emphasis on the western part, as long as it's higher than the midway point in the Azara. Okay, so since... Oh, so that's Reb Lozer, Reb Shimon so far. He's Moisif up in Ulam Mizbeach. Chabad, he agrees to Reb Yosef, Reb Yehuda, that north of the Mizbeach itself, that's according to everybody, that works perfectly. But you can even do the Shechitas Kodesh Kodeshim to the northwestern side. Rebbe Moisif, Rebbe adds even more. Af Mokim Drisus Ragli Kahanav, Af Mokim Drisus Ragli Yisrael. He says, Rebbe, that we can even do it on the northeastern side. So when you enter into the Azara, you immediately come through the Ezus Yisrael. And right after that, you have the Ezus Kehanim. That portion of the Azara, that was 22 Amos wide, as you know, the other part, Ben Ulam Mizbeach, was also 22 Amos. Says, Rebbe, you can even go and shecht over there. But make sure it's before the midway point of the Mizbeach. Don't go lower than that. But that's also called north, northeast. Okay? When you're talking about Menchalipis Lefnim, what exactly are the Khalifas? We don't need this for purpose of our Gemara, but since it says it here in this Braisa, Khalifas means that the Ulam, and once again, if you have a picture here of the from the art scroll, it's very, very helpful. In fact, there's a second picture on the next page where they have a picture of the base Khalifas. The Khalifas are that the Ulam was wider than the Heichel. The Heichel itself, from north to south, was 70 Amos wide. The ulam from north to south was 100 amos wide. Since it was 100 amos wide, that means that the ulam was 30 amos wider than the hekel, 15 on the northern end, 15 amos on the southern end. What did they do with that extra space in the ulam? The ulam really didn't have much of a function. It was just basically a pass-through to get from the azara into the hekel. Whether or not the ulam had the kedusha sahechol or didn't have the kedusha sahechol is a machloikis in kodshu. What would be the nafkamina? Nafkamina would be, what happens if you put the shulchan or menoira inside the ulam? Could you do all the avoidus with the shulchan or the mizbeach? Anyway, but that's not our sugya. The point is, what do we do with that extra 15 amas north and 50 amas south? So they carved out into the wall such cubby holes, if you will, or maybe there was a doorway where you could enter into it, and they had over there the chalif. Chalif is the sakin that was used by the various mishmaris. Since there were 24 mishmaris, so each one of the mishmaris had their chalif, they had their sakin there. Rashi says that the reason why a sakin was called a chalif is because it's derived from the Arabic, and in Hebrew the chalif means you're mischalif, you are exchanging life for non-life. By using a sakin, you're taking the animal that until now was running around and was lively, and now it is missing that life. That's the chalip, and that's the you're exchanging one for the other. So that's how it got the name Beis Chalifais, and that's where they hid the Rashi says it were 24 chaloinois, chaloin lechol mishmar. Presumably chaloin is like a cubby, like a locker. You opened up the locker, each mishmar had its locker, and there they would go and put away their sakinim for shechting the various kabbalas. Okay, so our Gemara tells us that starting from the Beis Chalifais, which was in the ulam, from there and further back, even though technically you can look upon that as also being the northern part of the Azara, however, everybody would agree that you cannot go and shecht in that area. Okay, so we finish now with the Braisa. We started off asking, it says in our Mishnah, that when the Kohen Gadol shechted the par on Yom Kippur, what did he do? Ben Uv LaMizbeach. L'chayra, who's the one that holds Ben Uv LaMizbeach is kosher for Kodshi Kodeshim? It's Rav Elazar Rabbi Shimon. He's the one that holds that you can shecht not only north, but also northwest. So l'chayra, this is Rav Elazar Rabbi Shimon. Frey Timora, V'loy Rebbe? Isn't Rebbe also in agreement? Because if you go back to the Braisa starts off, Ezeu Tzofoin, says the Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda directly parallel. Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon Moisef, he adds northwest. Rebbe Moisef Af Mokav Drisar Agli Hanum, even northeast. So it sounds like Rebbe is more inclusive than both Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, and so therefore our Mishnah can go according to both of them, Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon and Rebbe. So Frey Timora, why did we start off on the first two lines of our Omid? Mansham, Misleidom Venulam Mizbeach Tzafai, Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, it's not Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. It's also Rebbe, because Rebbe also agrees that north, northwest, and northeast are all good according to Rebbe. Zok Timor, Leib Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, Evelay Rebbe, are you telling me Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon and not Rebbe? Afilitema Rebbe, Lechoy Rebbe is also included. And there's a small change made by the Bach, not Rebbe Hashta, but Hashta Rebbe, at the base review, the Moisev. Since we see in this price that Rebbe is Moisev, that's how we begin. Rebbe Moisev Av. If he's Moisev, Rebbe Yisrael Yehuda, isn't he also being Moisev at the Blazer of Shimon? Loi Moisev. Isn't he being Moisev on everybody? The Chayyim is Moisev on both of the previous Mandiyamim, both of Rebbe Yisrael Yehuda and the Blazer of Shimon, and therefore Rebbe is Kolel all three areas north, northwest, and northeast. So therefore the Mishnah should go according to Rebbe Elazar Shimon and according to Rebbe. Says Yimar Anan Hochi Komrinan, what we're really focusing on is Rebbe, if you're telling me that the Mishnah goes according to Rebbe, Noik may be Kula Azara. Why does the Mishnah say that you have to go and check Ben Ulam Lamizbeach? Why did the Mishnah say go and check anywhere in the Tzofin part of the Azara, whether it's north, northeast, northwest? anywhere. Why does it focus on Ulam HaMizbeach? Elamai l'choyre mosko l'kudja b'lozer Reb Shimon. Frey Timura, Elamai Reb Lozer Reb Shimon ni. Is noit me ben Mizbeach l'koysel. Why do we have to talk about the Ulam HaMizbeach? Why don't we go and say at the that area which is exactly parallel to the Tzofer of the Mizbeach? That's Reb Yosef Yehuda holds. The Blood of Reb Shimon agrees to that. So isn't that the easiest suffering when it's clearly north, 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 not northeast and not northwest? Why wouldn't Reb Blood of Reb Shimon, why wouldn't the Mishnah say total suffering, which everybody agrees to? I'll tell you why. Because the Kohen Gadol, as we know, is fasting on Yom Kippur, like everybody in Klal Yisrael. And therefore, what does he have to do for the major avoidance of the day? He has to go and take the blood that he was makabel in the Mizrak. He has to be molochid. He has to go and carry it with him up the steps into the Ulam, into the Heichal, into the Kodesh Kodashim, and there go and do the Hazois, Lefnai v'lefnim, and afterwards the Hazois in front of the Paroichis inside the Kodesh, and after that in the Zbeach HaPanimi. So the Kohen Gadol is going to be busy the whole day. So he shouldn't have to transport the blood more than is absolutely necessary. We say, take the par, and have the par be situated between the Ulam v'lam Zbeach, so that right after the Shechita, and right after the Kabbalah Saddam, the Kohen Gadol is ready at the steps. He doesn't have to traipse through the entire Azara. He's right there. So that's the reason why we do Ben Ulam Mizbeach. Elamai Reb Lozer Reb Shimni, Menoik Me Ben Ulam Mizbeach L'Koysel. You know why we don't do Mizbeach L'Koysel? Elamai Yislach L'Neim Mishem Chushet Kohen Gadol. That the reason why we do Ben Ulam Mizbeach is because we don't want the Kohen Gadol to have to walk so far. So Tibor Rabbi Nami Mishem Chushet Kohen Gadol. Based on that, even though Rebbe holds, yes, you can do it anywhere but Tzofen or Azara. You can do it northeast, you can do it directly north, you can do it northwest. Avada, you're 100% right. But the reason why Amisha says Ben Ulam Mizbeach is not to stress that the halacha is like Reb Lozer B'Reb Shimon. Halacha is like Rebbe as well. In other words, we have no raya from our Mishnah. The reason why we do it Ben Ulam Mizbeach is because we have Rachmanis and the Kohen Gadol who's going to have to be molech the blood all the way into the Heichel and the Kodesh Kodesh. Okay, back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, "Roi shel dar." Yes, Brother Shai. The Mizrak was right next to him. After all, he's standing right next to the animal since he's shechting and severing now the simonim in the neck. His Mizrak is right next to him, sitting there, waiting there for him. As soon as he finishes the 51%, he hands over the chalif to another kohen who's going to continue on. And then he quickly takes that Mizrak and holds it underneath the neck to be mekabel the dam. You're right that the initial dam he will have lost, but that initial dam is not kosher anyway for purposes of the zrika. The zrika comes from that initial dam is like a little trickle. Then after you begin severing, then the it comes spurting out. So presumably you're right that there is some initial blood that is lost. But after that he gets the 80 or 90% after he's in charge of the Kabbalah Saddam. You're very welcome. Okay, back to our Gemara. Rosh l'dorim upon of l'marav. Praise the Mohechim Mishkachas La. I mean, how can the animal's head be towards the south and the face of the animal towards the west? That seems to be impossible. Omerav ba'oikimis roishoy. Ah, what we really mean to say is we say roishoy, we don't mean roishoy that the head was l'dorim. We mean the direction of the front of the animal. We took the animal, we have the par, and the head was directed towards the south. The back of the animal where the tail is was towards the north. That's where the animal was standing. And then we took the head of the animal and we directed it towards the west. That means oikimus rashi. So why do you have to do all of these gymnastics and acrobatics? Why don't we just simply take the animal and have it stand with its head towards the heichel, towards the west? In other words, I understand why the punim is lamarev. because we want to go and check towards the Heichel, towards the Kodesh, towards the Kodesh Kadoshim. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So then, why do we have to go and take the animal, have it go from north to south, and then just turn the head? Let the whole animal be between east and west. We were afraid that the animal might decide to relieve himself in the middle of the Azara, and the Glolim would start coming out. Worse than that, says Rashi, the Pihatabas, that means the rectum or the anus down below, the opening would be towards the Mizbeach, and that would be terrible. Normally that was presumably covered over by the tail. However, if he started to be Marbitz Glolim, then the back of the animal would be revealed. It would be towards the Mizbeach. Remember, the Mizbeach is there smack in the middle of the Azara. The animal is sitting Beinu Ulam La Mizbeach with its head towards the Heichel, the back towards the Mizbeach. To have the Pia Tavas be open towards the Mizbeach, that would be a terrible disgrace. So we don't want that to happen. We'd rather have that the animal stand between the north and the south, and if the animal were to be Matal Glolim, so the Glolim would be towards the northern wall and not towards the Mizbeach. Tanrabban, Keitzad Soimeich, if a person is doing smicha, this is throughout the year, this is Lav Dafka Yom Kippur, how do you do smicha? Hazevach Limit B'Tzofen, if you're talking about Kachi Kudishin, the carbon was standing in the Tzofen side of the Azara, Ponav L'Marav, the face of the animal is towards Marav, and here we're not doing these acrobatics of the animal going from south and from the animal standing from north to south with its head towards the south and the zon of the tail towards the north, and then, you know, having to go and turn and churn the head of the animal, but rather the animal stood firmly in the tzofen side of the Azara with its ponim towards Marav and its back towards the Mizrach. Here we did not have the same problem that we had in Yom Kippur, because since it wasn't between the Ulam Mizbeach, it was just in the Tzofen area, the northern part, so the back of the animal was strictly towards Mizrach. It was north of the Mizbeach, so we don't have this issue. So he could stand there normally, but on the Marav, Vasoimich Oimid Mizrach, the person who was doing smicha would stand in the Mizrach side, Uponav L'Marav, and his ponim and his face was turned towards Marav. And he puts his hands on top of the head of the carbon, and he does smicha. Make sure that there is no chatzitza between his hands and the head. In other words, he shouldn't be wearing gloves, and there shouldn't be some sort of shmata or cloth or whatever on the head. It should go directly on the head of the animal. Then he says vidoy. If the carbon is a carbon chatos, misvar al chatos avoin chatos. In other words, if the person bishogeg did an iser of Shabbos, for instance, he has to bring carbon chatos. Fine. So he goes in misvada on that chait that he did, that's mechayiv the carbon chatos. If he did some sort of chait that requires him to bring a carbon osham, asham me'ilois, asham gzeilois, etc. While osham avoin osham, he should be misvada on that osham. What about the oila? Now the Gemara says something very startling. On the oila, he should be misvada and avoin leket shikha upeya. Our Gemara has a maser oni, but Rashi takes out a maser oni. Aha. So obviously we don't mean that every single carbon oiler he should be misvada on the avoid lekechik chupaya. The person might not even be a farmer. He may not have a farm to have lekechik chupaya. But we're saying if the reason why he's bringing the carbon oiler is to be machaper on his failure to go and leave the lekechik chupaya, as you know, the Torah says when it comes to lekechik chupaya, you're not allowed to take the Leket Shikupaya. It's just a quick reminder, what exactly is Leket Shikupaya? Leket means that when the farmer is cutting the tvua, some of the stalks of grain may fall to the ground. If it's less than three, if it's two or one, as it falls to the ground, he has to leave it there for the anil. Shikha means that when you are collecting and bundling together all of your tvua from the ground, if you leave behind one or two stalks that you forgot or that you fell out of the pekel, fell out of your bundle, leave it for the aniyim. Peya means that you have to leave a corner of the field for the aniyim. What's the shear of peya that you have to go and leave? Min ha-toyra. What do we say in the Mishnah? There's no shir. Anyway, so bottom line. Yeah. Oh, Rinduk, Shkoyach. Beautiful. So we have Avoid Leket Shichu Peyer. These three. If a person was not Mekayim this mitzvah, what's it? Then he has to bring a carbon oil. Divir Rabbi Yosi Haglili. The reason why we take out Maser Oni, Rashi says, is because in Parshas Ki Savoy, there's a vidui over there that one says, Bishas, the beer of Maisris in the fourth and seventh year. When a person has to make sure, Be'arte Kodesh Merabayis, become the Satav of the Levi, Lager, Yosu, Amon, etc. He took care of all of the Trumas and Maisris that he had to make sure that they were all distributed to the correct recipients. So one of the things that he mentions is that he gave it to the Oni. So you don't have to have a vidui here by this carbon oil because we already have a vidui for Maser Oni in the Torah. So, but these lekachik pay, there is no vidui, so you have to do a vidui on the carbon oil. And that's what Rashi says, other Mepharshim disagree. Anyway, Dibur Rabbi Yosi Haglili. Rabbi Akiva Omer ein oil. Yes? It's the seventh year is clear cut, as whether it's the third or the fourth is already a machlekes. Poshup shot, it's the fourth year, but is a Rashi in Chumash that says the third year, and then the only Mepharshim beat up on that Rashi. How could the third year, it's going to be the fourth and seventh year? But again, this is really off topic. That's talking about the vidui that one says for the beer for all the maisers, and since that included the maaser oni, that's the reason why. That's the reason why it's not included on the carbon oil, because you already have a vidui there. I see the article says year 3 and 6, but elsewhere it says 4 and 7. Anyway, whichever year it happens to be, the Maaser Oni, you don't need to do a vidui on a carbon, because you have the opportunity to do it then during that beer. So getting back now to our Gemara, Divrei Rabbi Yosi Haglili, Rabbi Akiva Omer, Ein Oile Bo Ele Ale Esei Va'al Loi Sese Shenitik La'asei. I never heard of bringing a carbon oiler for leket shikopeya. I did hear of bringing an oiler for an assay. Any assay, if a person was mavatal mitzvah assay, a person did not wear tefillin one day, a person didn't wear tzitzis when he was wearing a four-cornered garment, so he was mavatal mitzvah assay. Or if a person was over on a loises shenitik la'assay, the classic case of loisesh, like I say, is always a case of noiser. If you have noiser left over, you were supposed to eat it in a timely fashion, but you didn't. What do you do with the noiser? Basically, you have to go and burn it. So since the Torah gives us a remedy, so to speak, for the iser of loisesh, this din of the lav, it's called a lava nitik lasei. By lava nitik lasei, there is no din of malchus. Usually by all lavin, I mean, there's some lavin, of course, that have arba nisus bezin, have chorus, but most lavin have a din of malchus. So at Gemara tells us, a lav shnitzik lasei, there's no din of malchus, because the Kodesh Baruch Hu gave us the remedy of the asei. However, what Gemara tells us is, since there is no remedy, except for the going and burning it, that's why you bring your carbon oil, you can have in mind then the vidui for the lav and nitzik lasei. Okay. The Tanakhama, Rabbi Yosi Haglili says, even lekachik chupaya, while Rabbi Kiva says, no, only the essay in the lava nitiklase. Prejima maikar meflegi, what's the machlekis? Om Rabbi Yemiya, the lav, the nevela kumeflegi. The machlekis is the gabin, the lav of nevela, and parenthetically, the lekachik chupaya as well. We'll see what this means in a moment. Rabbi Kiva sova lav ma'aliyahu, Rabbi Yosi Haglili sova lav ma'aliyahu. What does it say by the Isser of Nevela? It says, Loi soichlu kol Nevela, lager ashe b'sharecha t'nena b'achola, oi machor l'nochri. Don't eat Nevela. What should you do instead? Go and give it to your ger toshav. That's a person, the Gemara in Masechta Sanhedrin, has a number of different opinions as to what a ger toshav is, but the classic view is that a ger toshav means a Gentile that has accepted upon himself the Sheva Mitzvah B'nei Noyach, and since the Sheva Mitzvah B'nei Noyach do not include only eating kosher, so the Ager Toshav is entitled to go and eat Nevelis. since he's allowed to eat nevelas, we're giving an eitzah to a person. If you have a nevela, you obviously have no use for it. Go and legerish b'shrecha titnana v'achola. You can go and give it to your ger toshav when there's a mitzvah of a chai imach, even though this is not a ger tzedek. This is not a full-fledged ger of 613 mitzvahs. He only did the seven mitzvahs. Nevertheless, there's a mitzvah to go mi-mechai him, to support him, so that he should have parnasa. Give it to him. If there are no such ger toshavs in your community, and machal anachri, you can go and sell it to a guy. Now, this, in a sense, is similar to a lav hanitik laseh, in that we start off with a lav, leisoichul kol nevela, and then the pasuk gives us, quote-unquote, a remedy, rather give it to the ger or sell it to the guy. Aha. However, this is not, says Rashi, this is not a lav hanitik laseh, because a lav hanitik laseh means that you've already violated the lav, and now you want to remedy your violation. So, for instance, by noiser, don't leave the carbon over until the morning. If you did, your remedy is go and burn it. Here what we're talking is don't eat nevela. Instead, give it to the ger or sell it to the guy. Now, if you ate your nevela already, it would be extremely difficult, if not impossible, to go and give it to the ger or sell it to the guy. So obviously, although the pasuk says don't eat nevela, but do the following, this is not a remedy after the commission or the violation of the iser of nevela, but rather it's giving you a substitute. You're wondering, what should I do with nevela since I can't eat it? Don't just go and put it into the garbage, into the waste bin. Use it. Use it in a good way. Give it to the ger toshav. Sell it to the guy. So that's why it's not a lav and nitik laseh. It's a lav where there is an essay that follows the lav, but doesn't remedy the lav. The question is that considered to be also in the same category as a lav and nitik laseh, and therefore no malchus? Or do I say, come on, if a person eats nevela, of course he gets malchus. That the Torah says that you can go and give it to the ger, that means if you didn't eat it, but if you ate it, of course give him as many lashes as this person deserves. Give him a maximum of 39. So that's the machloikis here between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yosef Glili. Rabbi Akiva sover la ma'alyahu, just because there's an assay that the Torah gives us this mitzvah, give it to the ger, that's not considered lav and nitik laseh. This is a regular normal lav. We give pech, you give malchus. Basically, this over lav ma'alyahu. This is not your standard lav. Now, even Rabbi Yosef Glili agrees it's not a lav and nitik laseh. What Rabbi Yosef Glili says is that all the dinim of malchus that we learn in the Torah, we learn from the lav de chasima. What's a lav de chasima? It says in the pasuk, leisachsim shor b'dishoy. Don't muzzle your animal while it's going out into the daish. And then right after that, the pasuk tells us about the din of malchus. And because of that, the Gemara says in a number of places that the reason why they have the juxtaposition, these two together, to tell you that the din of malchus is in a lav which is similar to the lav of chasima. And just like leisachsim shor b'dishoy, there is no follow-up mitzvah asay. Here, however, there is a follow-up. It's not a nitik laseh, but there's a follow-up laseh, and that is, give it to the ger, sell it to the goy. That's why it's not your normal lav. Since you're basically, this is enough to go and exempt this lav from getting malchus. Now you're wondering to yourself, what does that have to do with the price of tea in China? After what is, we're not talking about that. We're talking here about the carbon oila, the gabi leket shichum peyer. So Rashi said, Leket Shichupay is similar. There it also says in the Pasuk, Veleket Ktircha Lo Yisalaket. Also a lav, Legabi Leket and Shichupay. But what do you do? Lo Ani Vela Ger Tazavo Yisam. You're supposed to leave it for the Ani and for the Ger. Ah. So now the Gemara is telling us, that's similar. Make sure that you don't go and collect your leket shikumpeya. Leave it in the field. See, here too, we're not talking about a person that was oiver on the lav, and then we're trying to remedy it, like the case of the noiser. Here we're telling you, yid, you farmer, you're going to have leket shikumpeya by definition. Make sure, tazavoisim, leave it there. So it's very similar to the lab of Nevela, and in that sense, that's what the Gemara is telling us. Rabbi Kiva Sover lav ma'al Yehu, just like the lav of the Nevela is a normal, regular lav, the follow-up mitzvah asay of giving to the ger, selling to the goy, is not a lav in the asay. Here too, the la'oni v'lager taz of oisam is also not a lav in the asay. It's a regular lav, and therefore you get malkis. Basically, he says it's still not the same as your lav the chasima, and there's no din of malkis. No, don't compare Nevela to the din of Leket Shichul Peh. The lav of Nevela is a regular, normal lav. Here the machlokes is legabe taz. In other words, everybody agrees that lav of Nevela is normal, and if a person eats Nevela, he gets pech. The word taziv tells you, Raboisai, when it comes to leket shichupeya, don't collect it, leave it, leave it. So you don't have a situation where he commits a violation by taking away the leket shichupeya, but rather the Torah instructs him, don't take it, but leave it from the outset. So it's not a lav shenitik la'asei. If you want, it's a lav shekod ma'asei. It's a lav that even before you start thinking about the lav, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Rabid, you're a farmer, I'm giving you a mitzvah. Just like you have a mitzvah of trumais and maisris, you also have a mitzvah, don't take the lekesh chabei, but taz avos and leave it in the field. Hashta mashma. Hashta means post the violation of leket shichupeya. So Rashi tells us, what happens if a person took the leket shichupeya from his field and it brought it into his home? He brought it into his storage bin. He took it to his granary. We go and tell him, Rabid, put it back! Take it back, put it back into the field. Oh, so then this becomes much more like a lav and nitik laseh. You were over the lav, now fix it. How do you fix it? By returning it, putting it back to the field. Oh, that being the case, as Rabbi said, Lili, that's why you do not get malkis. So if you ever want to be misvada and you want to go and confess your sin, bring your carbon oila, and on that oila, this lav of the leket shichupeya is more or less like your lav anitik laseh, and therefore the oila will be mechaper on this one as well. Okay, from here till almost the bottom of the Amud, it's a very, very simple, straightforward Gemara. The Gemara is going into the Nusach that the Kohen Gadol says when he says his Vidui. What's the Shaila over here? What's the order of the three words? We have three words. We have Ovoin, Pesha, and Chet, which all, broadly, all mean sin. But as we'll see in the Gemara, there are different levels and degrees of sin. And therefore the question is, in which order should he say, Ovoin Pesha Chet? Or maybe he should say, Chet Ovoin Pesha. As we'll see. Turn around. Keitzad Misvada. He says, Ovisi Peshati V'chatosi. That's what, in fact, it says in the pasuk. So we're talking about the sora mishtalech, the sora la'azazel. So he's misvada on the avoin, avoinois. There's called pishem the pesha, the chol chatoisim on the chait. Oh, so the exact same sequence as we had of isi pshat and chatosi. V'chaim Moshe Oimer, when Moshe Rabbeinu was telling us about the yud gimel midois, Hashem Hashem kerachem v'chanan, then it says noisi avoin v'fesha v'chato v'nake. Oh, avoin pesha v'chato. In that order, Divrei Meir, crystal clear, very simple. V'chaim Oimer, no. First, let me define what these three terms are, say the Rabbanim. Avoinois, evas, doinois. These are things that people do b'mezid. B'mezid means that they do it intentionally. They know they're violating Shabbos. They know they're violating the isser of eating treif. Whatever. He does b'mezid, I know, and he does. That's avoin. V'chein woimen, hikoris, and nefesh, he avoina ba. Avoin ba means he did it intentionally. Pshoim elu hamrodim. Pesha is much worse. That means a person who's rebellious. It's not just he's over the Aveira because I don't care. I don't care about kashrus. I love pork. I love bacon. I'm going to eat it whether you like it or not. Merit means not because he has a taiva, but because he says, I want to defy HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I want to show HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I don't believe in this. I'm an atheist. I could care less about all the mitzvahs. So that's a merit. That's a rebellious person, and that's a pesha. V'chein Oimer, Melech Moyev Poshabi, Aloshin of Pshia. V'Oimer, Oz Tifsha, Livna Ve'esehi. Livna was the name of a city, and the people of Livna, they were Poshea. And then, L'chol Chatoisim, Elash Gogois. That means a person who did a chet b'shogeg. V'chein Oimer, Nefesh Kisechta b'shkoga, then he has to go and bring his carbon shogeg. Ah, so shogeg means a person did by accident, by mistake. Says the Gemara, say the Rabban. The Chum says something very logical, that if you're going to follow a Rameyer, the Rameyer says you first do the vidui on the Ovoid and the Pesha, the Ovoid being the mazids, the intentional, the Pesha being the rebellious ones. After you finish with that, then you're going to talk about the mistakes, about the accidents. That doesn't make sense. That would not be the normal sequence. He started off Chatos, I did some mistakes in my life. And in fact, Vavisi, I did some mazes, unfortunately. Umpeshati, some of the things I did in a rebellious fashion. Lufanech ani uvesi. So therefore, the Chacham switch around the order, instead of Ovoi Pesha v'chait, they do chait Ovoi and Pesha. We find the same thing by David HaMelech. Chatonu ma'viseinu, hevinu, hirshanu. You have chait, and then ovoin, and then hirshanu is a lashon of merida. V'chein b'shloimu oimer, chatonu, and now there's a slight change in the girsa. Says, on the side it says, v'hevinu, rishainu. So you have the chait, and then you have the ovoin, and then you have the rishus, being the merit. V'chein b'niyu oimer, again we have a change in the pasuk. Chatonu, what does it say here on the side, and hey, V'avinu, and V'rishana. So again, you start off with the shogeg first, and then you talk about the oven and the rishus, the merida later. Umarab. Ella, you're going to ask me, Ma'u she'omer Moshe noisa oven and pesha v'chatoh, with l'choyre, exactly, diametrically, the opposite of what we just said. It's just like Rameir said. Klai Yisrael is doing a chait when they're sinning. Voice tshuva and Baruch Hashem, it's Yom Kippur. We're doing tshuva now. I say, lehem zdoinois kishkogois. Go and take the oven and pesha and convert them into mistakes. Right? Sounds like all the politicians whenever they're accused of doing X, Y, and Z. Oh, it was a mistake. I didn't mean it. So lehavla alfi avdolois. When a person is doing tshuva, Moshe Beinu says, the Kodesh Baruch Hu, treat their tshuva as being so crystal clear and so pure that all the avedas that did throughout the year, make them into accidents, make them into mistakes. None of them should be considered intentional. So that's the machloikis now between Remeir and the Chachamim. How do we paskin? On Rabbi Shmuel, on Rav Alochin, we Chacham. We paskin like a Chacham. And therefore say chait first and the other two later. Whenever we have a machloikis between one and the Rav, of course we go after the Rav. Says the Maor is saying the Mistava Tami the Rameir Tik Masayle Kro. The Argamor says Kro de Moshe. However, Rashi takes out Moshe, and so the Bachulta takes it out because of Rashi. The Masayle Kro Kamash Malon. What does the Gemara mean? If we go back to Rameir, Rameir had two psukim in the Torah. The first pasuk was, look back at the top of the Yomid, turn Rabban and 6-7 lines at the top, Ketzim Esvada, Vizim Shatam Potasim, Chim Sem Shlech, it said, Sem Shlech, Oimer Besvada, all of his call, Avoidus B'nei Yisrael, his call, Pishem L'chol Chatoisim. So it says very clearly, the Vidui was, Ovoin, Pesha, and Chait. V'chaim Moshe Oimer, have another Pasik in the Torah, by Moshe Beinu, let's see, Ovoin, Ufeshe, V'chato, Divir Emeir. So now, assuming that you're leaving in the girsa of Moshe, we're saying is, just like Moshe Rabbeinu said in the Yud Gimel Midois, no, you say, Ovoi Befesh V'chato, that's how you're supposed to say your Vidoi, Ovoi Befesh V'chato. That's the girsa of our Gemara, Moshe. However, if you look at Rashi, Rashi says, Rashi leaves out that last word, Moshe. He just says, that's what it said in the Pasuk. Kamasayle Kro. It's about 3-4 lines beyond where we're holding in the... Oh, actually, it's on the same line where it says the Moshe Kamash Malon. You see the Aleph Aleph, the Moshe Kamash, we'll learn on the same line, to come aside, they cross, is Rashi, the Vidi Yom Kippurim Gufei. Leave out the word Moshe. Look at the Vidi of Yom Kippur itself. Oh, so let's go back again to the price at the beginning. V'chein Misor Mishtalech. Misor Mishtalech is on Yom Kippur, Yom Kippur itself. What does the Torah tell us? What is the text of the Vidi? V'svad Olav Eskola Voinois, V'eskol Pishayim L'chol Chatoisim. So it certainly makes sense that in the earlier Vidi, at the time of the Par, that the Kohen Gadol would use that same text of Ovoin, Pesha, and Chait. So therefore, according to Rashi, you leave out the word Moshe, because he's saying, that's what it says in the Torah. That's what you're supposed to do in Yom Kippur. If you leave in Moshe, then you're learning that just like Moshe Rabbeinu's Vidui, or there's another gears, I think, of the Ramban, that says it's not the Mekavsayle Kro to Moshe, but it's Kro'i to Moshe. It's the Psukim of Moshe. What does it mean, Psukim of Moshe? The Torah Kedoshah from Bereishis until the end of Devarim is known as Torah Moshe. Why was Torah Moshe? Because Moshe Rabbeinu went up 40 days, 40 nights, he brought back the Torah, he gave it to us from beginning to end, from Bereishis until the end of Devarim. These two psukim that we were quoted by Rameir, these are psukim in the Chumash. V'svada olav skovenish b'nei Yisrael, that's in Parshas Achri Mois, and they say olav v'vesh v'chato is in Parshas Kisisa, I believe. It's the psukim that deal with Vida in the Torah itself. Masha'inkin, the Chachamim's psukim, first they define what Ovoin, Pesha, and Chait are, true, but then when they get to bottom line is, they say, V'chein b'dovru oimer chotonu mavisayru, V'chein b'shloimu oimer chotonu, V'chein b'daniel. David and Melech, Shlomo and Melech, and Daniel were three great giants, but none of them are in Torah Moshe, they're all in Nach. They're not in the Torah, so therefore I prefer bringing a raya from the Torah than bring a raya from Nach. Says Gemara, if that's the case, we should pass it like Reb Meir and not like the Rabbanon. Kamash Malan, but we pass it like the Rabbanon. Nevertheless, the Gemara tells us who the Nochas Kamei the Rabba. There was a Baal Tefillah that went in front of the Rabba on Yom Kippur. The other Reb Meir. And when he came to the Ona Hashem, he went and said like Reb Meir said, meaning he left Chait to the, he said, Chait at the end, Avisi Peshati V'chotasi, like the Kohen Gadol did on Yom Kippur. Amalei, so Rabbi said, Shavkas Rabban V'avsk Rameir, you left over the Rabban, you're doing like Rameir, Halacha Kiravim, Yachav Rabban Halacha Kiravim. Amalei, he told him, Kiramayr Svirali, I hold like Moshe. Why? I'm sorry, I hold like Rameir. Kirachsim V'seifoi Raisa, then Moshe, like it says in the Torah, Moshe, they don't turn as Moshe. Well, once again, presumably Rashi would take that out, like it said in the Torah, that's what you're supposed to say in that sequence, and not the sequence of the Rabbanim, but the sequence of Moshe. Among the Rishonim and Achronim, there's a major, major machloikis. How do we paskin halacha l'maisa? Do we paskin like the Rabbanim? Do we paskin like Reb Meir? Because although the Gemara said very clearly, but we see from this subsequent story that in front of the Rabbah, that the Baal Tefillah said, I'm following Reb Meir. We don't find that Rabbah said, stop, we're going to take another chazan, we're going to take another Baal Tefillah, or change it around, otherwise you're not going to be hired for next year. So apparently, Rabbah either reluctantly or the Chetchilah nodded his head and said, okay, no, continue on. So we see that it remains an open shaylus. In fact, as a machlokes, a poskim, whether you should do it this way or that way, you're going to ask me, how do we do it? Take out your machzor for Yom Kippur, and you'll see exactly what the minhag is. Okay, so you were right there. Tana Rabban. Now we're going to talk about the kapara. We could theoretically stop here, but I think we should finish off the sugya. Tana Rabban, it's... Yes? Nachmul? Yes, yes. It describes it on the Sora Mishtalech, but it doesn't describe it how he did it on the Par. So that's Rameir's Raya, and that's why the Baal Tefillah followed Rameir, because that's as we stay in the Torah. But the Rabbanim disagreed, and the Rabbanim is still the majority. So that's the tension here in the Gemara. Tanurban, it says in the Pasuk that the Kohen Gadol, when he was saying the Vidui on his Par, the Chiper Badoi Uviad Beisoi, you see, on the bottom of the Gemara, v'hikar v'harin is parachatzas ha'shaloi v'chiper badim ad beisai. Says the Gemara, the word v'chiper, v'kapar is dvar v'kosim b'tav, it means a vidui. Maybe v'chiper means that he should do the zrika sadam, that's always the kapar of all kabbanas, you do it through the zrika sadam. I'm going to learn a gzeira shav. Never kam kapara. It says in the pasuk v'chipim badavad beisir. The name of lahalon kapara, and it says by the sor himishtalech that he's also mechaper when he sends out the sor himishtalech to for all the avoidance of Klal Yisrael. What's the lashon pasuk of the kapara? Mr. Marashi brings it over here. Oh, very good. So that's Rashi, Nemel Lahalon. Rashi about 10 lines before the wide lines. Nemel Lahalon, Bitzer Mishtaleach, Yo'amad Chaylech, Ne Hashem Lechaper Olof, Shkoyech Bari. Since he has the Lashon of Kapar over there, Lechaper. And here it says, Vachibra Bada Vad. Basically, one Kapar for the other Kapar. Just like over there, it says, Befeish in the Pasuk, what the Vidu is. We quoted it at the top of the Yomad. Visvad Olof is Kalavoidus, Bnei Yisrael is Kopishem, Lechol Chatoisam. Oh, so that kapara means vidui, it means kaparas dvarim. Here too, it means kaparas dvarim. And if you're not happy with that, hari oimer, v'hikram aris et parachat osah shaloi, v'chipa badabad beisoi. And says, yimor v'adayin loy nishchat. How can you be talking about that the koyin godol is being machaper through dam? For Zrikas Adam, by definition, you have to shecht it. Nobody shechted the korban yet. So by definition, it must be that this V'chipa ba'da ba'beis, it means the vidui. V'dayim l'nishchat. V'dayim l'nishchat pa. V'reitimor ma'idim na'nafshech lo'imar. What do I need the second pasuk for? L'choy, the first pasuk, I learn in gzeira shava, kapara kapara. What's the wrong with that gzeira? With that gzeira shava? V'chitemi, maybe you're going to go tell me, ne'lem misor hanasa b'fnim, she'kaparasa b'domim. Why do you always keep on talking about the sor hanasa b'chut? The Sor La'azazel, let's talk about the Sor Nasa Bifnim. And over there, it uses the expression also of V'chiper. Now, where does it say V'chiper? So this is the bottom Rashi. It says on the very last line of the Sor HaPnimi, V'chiper ala kodesh mitumas b'nei Yisrael m'pishem l'chol chatoisam. And that V'chiper is talking about the Matan Domin. So we see that we have another kapara V'chiper, and l'choy would be better to learn our V'chiper by the par from that V'chiper by the soir hanasa b'fnim. You're asking me why is it better? Number one, it's exactly the same word. Remember, typically, although we say uba koin v'shava koin, that's only if you don't have a better word. But here you have the exact same word. Here it says v'chiper b'adavad beisoy, and here it says v'chiper ala kodi b'tumah b'nei Yisrael. Ma'ashenkin l'gab b'soir mishalech. It says yomad chay l'fnei Hashem l'chaper olav. Of course, it's the same shorish, but it's not exactly the same word. And number two, normally kapara throughout the Torah is usually bedam. So I would have thought instead of learning from the sor hanasa b'chutz, the sor la'azazel, let's learn from the sor hanasa b'fnim that we're talking about kaparas dam and not kaparas dvarim. How can you talk about kaparas dam if the animal is still alive and kicking? Even if it's not kicking, but it's still alive, it would be inappropriate to think that that's kaparas damim, and therefore certainly talking about kaparas dvarim. Everybody said we could stop over here. We're finished with our blot. However, some of you may say, well, let's learn until the two dots. And some will say, let's go and learn until the Mishnah. So based on that, let's learn another couple of lines. It shouldn't take us very long. Remember we had in the Mishnah that the Kohen Gadol says, Ono Hashem. Right, let's go back to the Mishnah for a moment. Here on Lamed Hey Amid Hey, it's the last two lines. Bolei Eitzel Pori, Pori Oy Oymed. Where do we get this ono hashem from? Puminayin sheba ono. Says he more never can kapar. Here it says v'chipa badavad beisa. Never alone b'choyrev kapar. It says by choyrev. Where does it say by choyrev? If you look in Rashi, Rashi at the top, nemar kapar b'choyrev v'masa egel. Ulay achap rabi ad chataschem, and what does the next pasuk say? Malalon ba'ana, ana chato amaze chato gedoyla v'yaslehem lehezav. So the pasuk Moshe Beinu is saying to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, ana chato amaze. So since both of them involve the word kapara, here's v'chibah badoy. By choyrim it says ulay achap rabi ad chataschem. So I learn one kapara from the other kapara. They just like Moshe Beinu started off ana chato amaze. So you also start the Kohen Gadol says on Hashem on Yom Kippur. Nemekar kapar v'nem lahum chayur kapar malahum. On afkan v'on. How do you know you started also saying honor Hashem. Maybe just say honor. How do you know Hashem? Never can kapara. Chiper badabad beisa. The name of Eglah Rufa kapara. Eglah Rufa also has the lashon kapara. Says Rashi. Kaper liamcha yisola shepadisa Hashem. So it says kaper. Malalon b'shem, just like it says kaper liamcha yisola shepadisa Hashem. Afkan b'shem. That's why we go and say honor Hashem. Honor because of Chorev, and Hashem because of the Eglah Rufa. Omer Abaye. Bishloim echoyrim Eglah Rufa le'yalef. We could ask the Chorev Kasha, why by Chorev don't we find that it says honor Hashem? It just says honor Chotu Amazeh. Why doesn't it say honor Hashem? Says Yimara, that type of Kasha we're not going to ask. My Dehava Hava, this is historical. Why are we going to ask why, what, when, where it happened? What Moshe Rabbeinu's Kavana was, whatever it was. We're not going to ask, he should have said, he could have said, he would have said. My Dehava Hava, sing your bay. El Agrufa Teilef Michayev, why for all generations in the future, if Chas V'Sholom, this were ever to occur, and we have to bring in Egla Rufa, why do we only use the word Hashem? We should go and say, Ona Hashem. Learn up Kapara Kapara from Chorev. But he say, with Hochanami. Yeah, Eidachanami, that's exactly what they said. But the Egla Rufa, they start off on Hashem. But Tanan, what did it say in the Mishnah? Hakoyhanim Oimrim, what did they say? Like it said in the Pasuk, Kapar li Amchi Yisrael Hashem Pedis Hashem. They didn't say the word Ana. Why didn't they say Ana? Just like we learn Ana Yom Kippur from Eglah Rufa. Why don't we learn Eglah Rufa from Chorev? I mean, just like we learn Ana from Chorev, why didn't Eglah Rufa also learn from Chorev? They should say Ana. Finally, it says in the Mishnah that after the Kohen Gadol said this Ana Hashem, then everybody said out loud, "Ein oyim akra baruch Hashem kvoi machus la levod." Tanya Rebbe Oyim, it says in the pasuk, "Yishem Hashem ekra havu goy de lele." Okay, when I call out Hashem's name, go and show be megadol shem Hashem. In other words, elevate Hashem's name. Am le Moshe Yisrael b'shosh ani maske shemoshel kadosh baruch. When I say Yishem Hashem ekra, atem havu goy de lele. Okay, so that's why when the Kohen Gadol says Hashem in the Beis Hamikdash, how do we go havu goy de lele kenu by saying baruch Hashem? Chanani ben Achir Reb Shua Eimer, I have another limud, says in the Pasuk, Zeicha Tzadik Livracha. Om Lev Nogli Yisrael, B'Shua Shani Maske Tzadik Olamim, when I referred to a Kodesh Baruch Hu, who is the ultimate Tzadik, where do we find the Kodesh Baruch Hu is referred to as a Tzadik? We say it every day in Ashrei three times. Tzadik Hashem B'chol Durocha, B'chosid B'chol Masa, the Kodesh Baruch Hu is a Tzadik, so he's the Tzadik Olamim. Whenever I say Tzadik, Zeicha Tzadik, I'm Maskir Tzadik, then live bracha. Atem tenu bracha. What's the bracha? Baruch Shem Kvei Malchusay Li Oilam Voed. Thank you, Rabbi Yisrael, all for listening, participating, and joining. We should all be zoichim yetchet in mekabel the Torah, be'ahavu, be'simcha, like at the time of Matan Torah, and we should be zoichim in the schus of Kabbalah the Torah. The Kodesh Baruch Hu should send a grois Yeshua to Klal Yisrael, especially in Eretz Yisrael, and b'chol mokim shehem, wherever Yidin live and wherever they are. Baruch Hashem sent the Yeshua to all of us. Barry, I see you have a question.
Yes.